Welcome back, Baltimore Positive and WNST.net. We are at Fadley's in Lexington Market. I am about 16 minutes away from a delicious crab cake. Don Moeller, we're in the middle of a great show. Our time is limited.
The
doctor's coming back, though.
We have to have him back. Absolutely. This is not going to be his last visit. I knew you would.
We have nothing in common, but everything in common. It's crazy.
We have to thank our sponsors.
You're a good learner, too.
If you're in Catonsville, stop at Jennings State Fair. Two great restaurants in the center of Catonsville. We're down here. If you have not been to Fadley's lately, do me a favor. Jump in the car.
They can see it, but they can't smell it.
Come out of the suburbs. Get down here to Fadley's. Order one of these world-famous crab cakes. And we're real excited. It's actually a conference that I know Dr. Hornbeck would care about.
Oh, yeah.
It's an equity housing conference coming up in September. Senator Maryland is part of putting that together. Nestor's actually going to be doing a panel discussion there. So we're real excited. Great sponsors. But we committed the cardinal, or I guess a cardinal sin.
Gary Williams jumping off the bench. Like, being mad at Dean's. I was like, time out. Because the doc says, well, I got to tell you a story. I forgot that.
After the lawsuit.
Stop. So go ahead. Tell us.
So after the lawsuit, you get called into the governor.
Well, it is clear that I'm going to be on the side of the plaintiffs, not the defendants. And I get a call to come to the governor's office, Governor Hughes, for whom I worked in a sense for 8 years, and I walk into the room and it's the governor and Louis Goldstein and the governor's chief of staff and my lawyer and everybody, and the objective of the meeting, it became clear, was for me to withdraw as a defendant. For smart reasons, it'd be better for the defendant not
to be
guilty. And we ended up at loggerheads, and I said that one of the few things I remembered from the time I was in law school was that people couldn't force you to not be a defendant. You had to choose, and I didn't choose because I thought it would be more impactful in the court if I would testify against myself as the defendant. And to Harry Hughes' credit, and he was a really decent guy in my judgment, he was asked about that afterwards by the press, and he said, I disagree with the superintendent's position on this, but if the superintendent's not going to stand up for the kids, who in the state is? And I thought that was a really statesman-like way of thinking about it.
You know, David, it's so interesting, and this is where we're going to jump to Kerwin because we have limited time left. It is interesting. I go back to my friend Stuart Berger. People used to get enraged when he would say this one thing, Nestor, and you probably heard him say it in meetings, Dr. Hornbeck. Stuart would say, it would be so much easier if we can just remember who the client is. Mm. The client is the student. It doesn't mean that other employees don't matter. It doesn't mean that the community. The client is
the student. We are their
advocate.
That's it.
And
right?
It would enrage people when Stuart said it.
Why would it enrage them?
Well, the people who become the client in practice tend to be the official school system.
The lawyers you're serving.
The lawyers.
Staff
the
members.
Administration.
Well, you're
staff
only as
members.
Good as what you can get by the other side's legal, right? To your point, you get sued all day long. If you're Stuart Berger, if you're whoever, you get sued all day long, right?
That's, yes.
And that is, so you're up against lawyers on the other side trying to whittle away, prove something, disprove something, and that will always be there because there are as many opinions as there are lawyers,
and it brings us to where we are today, Nestor, with why Dr. Hornbeck's fighting so hard. I want him to talk about his new effort with Strong Schools Maryland, all related to Kerwin. Our listeners probably, some have read about Kerwin, some know a little bit. Give us before we jump to Strong Schools and your advocacy of Kerwin, give us and our listeners a four dummy summary of what Kerwin is.
Yeah, Kerwin, the Kerwin Commission, the Commission on Innovation and Excellence in Education, was appointed by the governor, the president of the Senate, and the speaker of the House, 25 members. Everybody's at the table, the unions, the business people, the educators, legislators, and over a 2-year period, they issued a report in January of this year that is the single best report of its kind in at least the last 50 years in the United States. I helped write or consult with 21 states who produced similar reports, and some of them were really terrific. None hold a candle to Kerwin, because Kerwin, for the first time across the United States, is recommending universal pre-K, not for four-year-olds alone, but for three-year-olds.
Gets back to your development of the brain.
Development of the brain. Not just three-year-olds, but is recommending interventions at a prenatal level that the commission has tied to high school graduation and career
opportunities. So you're on the wrong path before you're walking in many, many
absolutely.
Cases.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there is a road there, and we can see that road, and we try to explain West Baltimore. We try to explain that's there.
Well,
and you've
what,
seen that your whole lifetime.
What Kerwin has done is to acknowledge that, and those changes would take place. Your eyeglass story from a few minutes ago, every school with 55% or more poor kids will be a community school and will give these opportunities of eyeglasses. It recognizes, for example, that concentrated poverty is even different from just one-off poverty. And so there will be more opportunity resources available there, like out-of-school time. We talked about the Catonsville Recreation League. There will be opportunities after school, whether it is the opportunity to be in an orchestra, like kids at one of my son's schools, where there's 96% poverty. They have a partnership, and it has an orchestra, and they happen.
Where's your son's school?
I have two sons who are principals. One is
imagine
what a surprise.
Apple Tree.
Eastern Avenue.
Oh, that's my neck
by
of the woods.
Patterson Park.
Okay, that's in the city, but I'm in the county.
And,
okay.
And the other one is at the corner of Wolf and Goff Streets.
That's also Butcher's Hill. Butcher's Hill.
Correct. And they both are schools serving large numbers of low income, and in both cases, an extraordinary change in the proportion of
Hispanic
Latino kids.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm of Hispanic descent, so
exactly.
I get you.
Exactly.
I've grown up in a neighborhood my whole life, and I don't mean just for the food.
Well, it's that kind of thing that Kerwin is trying to do, and so they've made these recommendations. This last General Assembly, two General Assemblies ago, the big change that we accomplished was the casino education money, where now an extra $500 million a year will get plowed into education on top of what was previously the case. This last year, we took the next step, and the policy framework, the community schools, the pre-kindergarten programs, huge changes for teachers, both their practice, their professional opportunities, and their pay will be different. Big changes in career education, employment opportunities, and so on. And so the policy framework was set then, and a down payment of $1 billion over the next 3 years was successfully passed. The big lift, though, comes in January. And then we have to finish the policy stuff, and we have to enact the funding formula.
Which is, and correct me, are we talking $850 million over 2 years? Is that what is
that's
that
what we passed this year.
Right.
$850 over 2 years, a little over $1 billion over 3 years.
Okay.
But then it all goes away. It's only a three-year deal. And what we have to put in place is the permanent formula, in which context we have to address the equity question of resources out across the state.
Well, is the 850 rock solid at this point? Are you confident that I think it was 350 followed by 8. I mean, followed by 5.
It was 255 followed by 350 followed by 350.
Okay. And are you confident that that funding is in place?
I am confident that the law has been passed that tells the governor that he has to include that money in next year's budget. Now, I never quite know
how that plays out.
There was money, for example, this year that was passed for school construction, and the governor has refused to pay it out. So it's all part of the reason that grassroots advocacy is really important.
And there have been rumblings out of the governor's office to the effect of, this all sounds good, but how do we pay for it?
Exactly.
Great. I mean, that's, and that leads us.
How do we pay for educating our kids?
How do we pay for this investment, which gets us then to where Dr. Hornbeck is today with Strong Schools Maryland.
So is this pouring more cement where you need to build the bridge? Is it, from a civic standpoint, is that what you would call it?
Well, and you
financially, I'm talking about.
You make a really important point. You didn't say spending X dollars to build the new bridge. You focused on the cement. That is what you have to actually do, which happens to cost extra dollars. And that's an important distinction. People say just pouring more money down the same hole isn't going to make the change. And that's absolutely right. It's what you buy for the new money. And that's why Kerwin is so important. They took the time to identify what actually would make the difference. And the only reason for the increase in cost is that those things cost that much. In the past, we have tended, not just in Maryland, but across the United States, to pass these kinds of laws and just give school districts more money. And often that just resulted in
they pour the same amount
thing.
Of cement everywhere and build a second bridge in Annapolis when we really need another bridge in Harvard.
And Kerwin has put both the programs and a new accountability system on the stump for this. And, oh, by the way, that is going to cost more money. But they didn't start with the money. They started with what will make a difference in the lives of kids.
Now, one of the components of Kerwin, I believe, is increasing teacher pay.
Yeah, two big changes. Right off the bat, increasing starting teachers' pay by 10%, but more importantly, increasing teacher pay to a level commensurate to other professions like nurses and architects that require the same education level that teachers are required
now, tell
to demonstrate.
People, tell people, Dr. Hornbeck, because this will always be a spirited debate. Tell people from your experience why increasing teacher pay is important for student achievement. Because they might say, well, what are you talking about? They're not connected. There really is no correlation. Educate us as to why increasing teacher pay is an important component of this plan.
Well, a good example is overload in the society of lawyers. Why do we have so many lawyers? It's because kids coming out of college think that if they go to law school, they're going to make money. And people going to colleges of education know historically they're not going to make money. And so you just, among other things, attract a different...
it's a numbers game. Give me a chance to get
and secondly,
more qualified.
The average... Well, let me give you this startling example that if you look at all second-year teachers in Maryland and you ask the question, what proportion of those become third-year teachers...
Mm.
It's only 47%.
Wow. Lose over half the
teachers. You lose
over half. So are you losing
half.
The how many of those are you inviting to not come back versus how many just say 2 years of this and I'm going to go do something
else
hard.
With
my
it's,
life?
It's mostly the latter.
I'm not making enough. I don't see a ceiling. My ceiling's a little capped.
And it's really hard work.
And I'm 28 and I'm barely paying my bill. I have to wait tables. I'm teaching challenged children, you know.
Nestor, I used to use the example. And
we're hearing this with police, by the way, too. So this that's a whole other...
Right.
Sure.
It would be interesting, and I'm sure your sons share this with you. If I personalize it, I always tell folks, now, my wife was a French teacher. She's retired now. But it's not much... of a stretch. Not too much hyperbole to say that I rarely remember her watching a TV show where she didn't have a stack of papers,
right,
where she wasn't working on lesson plans,
yep,
where she wasn't working throughout the weekend.
That you and leave the school at 4:30 in the afternoon and you're thinking about or working on everything that comes back before 7 in the morning,
you go home,
including your own two children.
You go home,
right,
and you start working again. I can remember young teachers. I remember specifically when I was an area superintendent, and it was great. I'd get to go visit faculty meetings and talk to young teachers, and they would be really honest, and they would say, you know, Dr. Moeller, I love what I'm doing, but I got to tell you, you know, my friends, when they get home from work, they're going out to happy hour, they're going to go do this, I'm exhausted, and I have a lot of work to do to get ready for tomorrow. It's a demanding profession, and I'm not sure that people understand how demanding.
Being a teacher and being a principal are the toughest jobs in America, in my judgment. Let me, before we end, because I know we're getting close.
I want you to talk about Strong Schools, too, before you get out of here.
Strong Schools Maryland, I founded it 2 years ago.
Where do people find it? Strong Schools Maryland?
www.strongschoolsmaryland.org.
.org, okay.
www.strongschoolsmaryland.org. And you'll find out how you can participate. You can help make Kerwin work. Our basic way of approaching it is to establish teams of 10 people each at the neighborhood level, and they meet on a monthly basis, and they send letters, they make phone calls. We have 192 teams of 10.
Esther, focus on this. This is an amazing... Start with that again.
No, I'm showing the website.
Think of the organizational ability. Start with your teams again.
We have these teams of 10, and there are 192 of them now in 21 of the 24 jurisdictions in the state.
Amazing.
They meet on a monthly basis. Each person in the group sends either two letters or two postcards to people we ask them to send them to. In the beginning, it was the Kerwin Commission. Later, it became legislators. Later, it became gubernatorial candidates.
Real activism.
Real activism. Grassroots, normal, ordinary, local folks. And we need more. And so my hope is, last session, for example, we put 10 people in Annapolis from 9 until 11:30 every single Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of the session, and they handed out education fact cards to legislators. They visited with legislators. They were in the galleries being introduced by legislators. We went to every single office of every single legislator every day and left these education fact cards. And we've got to do it again in 2020. And the lift is even bigger now, so we need the engagement of people all across the state, not just Baltimore City, but Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, Montgomery County. We need the engagement of people. And my theory about this, and I did this, incidentally, in Pennsylvania after I was Philadelphia's school superintendent. We had 350 teams of 10 there. The result was electing Ed Rendell as governor. He hired our executive director to be his education person. Ed and she and we worked the legislature during that period of time for an extra $4 billion targeted to low-wealth school districts in Maryland. So we know it works, but we need even a bigger base in Maryland now as we go into the home stretch on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And Ed Rendell, you said, is going to come down and actually lend some support.
Ed is coming down. Yeah, I just got note from him yesterday.
He's a Philadelphia sports fan. I know what he
is. But this is so interesting, Nestor, because here again, Dr. Hornbeck, it's safe to say that you and the governor knocked heads a few times.
Sometimes.
When you were Philadelphia superintendent.
How many lawsuits did you have?
Well, actually with Ed, I must say, not really. I mean, the answer is sort of yes, but Ed was the one more than anybody else who was responsible for my becoming superintendent in Philadelphia, and then I probably would have gotten tossed out in this first 6 months instead of in 6 years if it hadn't been for Ed.
Okay.
And he and I certainly had our differences, but he will say to you, as he did, he said about what we called Good Schools Pennsylvania, Strong Schools Maryland, Good Schools Pennsylvania. He said about Good Schools when he became governor, Good Schools took us 95 yards toward the goal line. It's my job now as governor to take us across.
So where are we with Kerwin? Let's use that sports metaphor. What yard line? Nestor likes sports metaphors. Where are we?
We are probably, I would say, at the 80% of the way there.
So we're at the 20.
We're
at the 20-yard line.
A field goal won't work here.
We're at the 20-yard line. We got to score.
Field goal. That's really maybe. Let's say we're at the 30-yard line. So it is really clear that a field goal won't do it.
Right.
And we've got to do the whole thing. It can't be piecemeal. You can't pick it apart. You've got to put the whole system in place. And so we got that extra 30 yards, and the grassroots organizing is going to make a huge difference in that, but we need as many of your listeners as possible.
Well, we have listeners all over the state and in all kinds of categories, from business leaders, elected officials, community members. I want to encourage I want to encourage everyone who is listening to this podcast. I can't thank you enough for coming on, to go to strongschoolsmaryland.org. We'll say it again, strongschoolsmaryland.org, because you've told me privately, you've said it again, I want you to close with it. You think this is it. This is our opportunity. If we miss it, you think we're in trouble.
If we don't get this done, then there will be a few little things that get done, and the world will declare that a victory, and it won't be any different than what we've got now.
Well, there's your field goal not good enough.
There you go. That's it.
Nestor, I thought you and Dr. David Hornbeck would hit it off. What do you think?
I'm disappointed in the kids of Philadelphia educated because they're still Flyers fans. I don't know. I mean, somewhere you failed along the line there. And by the way, I've never called you Dr. Moeller before. I didn't even know he was a doctor. I've never heard him ever refer to himself as Dr.
We don't use that very often.
We don't.
We don't use that very often. It's David and Don.
Use it. We're at Fadley's. We're at Jennings and State Fair coming up in a couple of weeks. Check us out at Baltimore Positive. Big thanks to everybody, Damie, everybody down here for bringing us some crab cakes. We are Baltimore Positive, WNST.net, AM 1570, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking education in Baltimore Positive.